lot of really interesting conversations about internet privacy on the Discord server since the last episode, both from personal experience and hypothetical ideas. A few of our listeners shared some pretty painful stories about times when fandom and offline life intersected in a bad way. And we're not going to share them here on the pod, but we wanted you all to know that our server is absolutely a place to talk through those issues. We all have them either in small or large ways. And we all kind of deal with how do those two worlds intersect. So we're very good listening ears on that little server, and we'd love to help you process through if you've got stuff to share. But honestly, Farrah and I are also honored that you trust us and each other enough to have those conversations. So please know that like we were not particularly active over the last little bit because of MTH, but we saw and we honor those stories.
We didn't mean to be Debbie Downers last episode, but a lot of you seemed grateful that we did a bit of a reality check on that, maybe shared some information some of you weren't aware of or gave you a new perspective on things. So you're welcome.
We serve so many purposes here at Pod on the Suit. Joy givers, joy killers.
Whatever you need us to be. Remember too, as more of you catch up on the episodes now, that we are now on all the podcast apps. Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Google. You can search for us and find us on all these wonderful places. So if you love us, feel absolutely free to leave a glowing rating or review. It doesn't just make us feel fuzzy inside, which is always great, but it also helps other people find the pod because it bumps it up the algorithms. So yeah, check us out there.
And let me say too, if you're looking for Pod on the Suit and getting really frustrated because the like every podcast on the planet seems to have the word pod in it.
Yes.
We will promise you that nobody else is named Flame and Ferret.
Yes. If you just search for Flame Ferret, for sure that gets us on Spotify. And I think it helps you find us on the other places too.
So, but you can find the links to those things on our website, and I'll make sure to put them in the show notes for this episode in particular. And then we put them on Tumblr, and yeah, just have fun, folks. We're glad we are in your ear holes in more ways.
If there's one that we're missing that's super important to you, we can't promise we'll be able to add it, but let us know.
And also for anyone who wants to chat about these specific topics as you're listening to, say, the episode on AUs where I got to talk to Blade, then our Catch-Up Club is running again with a slightly new format thanks to the fabulous, utterly fabulous Mrs. Maudie Bear, as she calls herself now. So head over to the Catch-Up Club channel if you're interested. We'll be asking smaller questions to hopefully generate a little bit more discussion. We heard from some of you that our block of questions was a little bit intimidating. So we took that feedback and we've reformatted. And we're hoping to get everybody caught up in the next month while Farrah and I take a bit of a recording break.
Yay.
Now, fear not, friends. We are not taking a fandom break. Oh, no, 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 no. The reason that we are taking a recording break is because of Marvel Trump's Hate, which kicked off pretty much today as you are listening to this in terms of the public participation bits, the preview week, and eventually the auction. And I am part of the mod team, but compared to Ferret, I do very little, to be completely honest. So we're going to give all three ferrets a little bit of a break.
Thank you.
From Pod Life so that they can focus on raising money for amazing causes. We need all six paws on deck here, guys. So that's what's going to be happening for the next month is we're going to be away. Don't, we said it, we're going to say it later. And I think we've said it on socials and things, but don't mute us, mute the server. We'll still be around the server. There's going to be polls and activity and things like that. And certainly keep an eye on your feeds in case we are feeling generous and drop some surprises. But we will see you when we're back at the end of November. We will be celebrating Thanksgiving.
We should be celebrating that this week. In fact, today and tomorrow is Thanksgiving.
Oh, Canadians. We really should coordinate this better because the thing we have on Monday is dumb.
You guys want two Thanksgivings? I used to have two Thanksgivings back when I visited my American family.
Oh, I'll take two Thanksgivings. The more stovetop stuffing I can have in my life, the literal better. No complaints here.
Well, you should 100% do that tomorrow instead of whatever weird holiday you guys have.
Oh, it's just the celebration of colonialism. So, oh, although Thanksgiving kind of is too. I'll just do it with stuffing this time.
Well, our Thanksgiving is entirely an autumn harvest festival, so you can celebrate squashes instead.
I like it. We're celebrating squashes instead of colonialism. I'm here for it.
So when we're back, we'll be celebrating American Thanksgiving with a whole episode on thankfulness. So you can start feeling thankful now during Canadian Thanksgiving. And by the time American Thanksgiving, the subpar Thanksgiving rolls around, you'll be ready to celebrate. We'll be channeling the cheesiest primary school vibes in our celebration. Think those turkeys made out of your hand that you trace on construction paper. If anyone wants to make one of those, please do. So here's where you come in.
So Farrah and I are absolutely going to be doing this too, don't worry, but y'all kind of know what we're thankful for already, I'd imagine. We talk about it a lot. So please, 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 please jump on in and participate here. And there's a few ways you can do it. So these are not in like order of priority. They are in order of how fast they flew out of my fingers. So first, you can head to Discord where we will be creating a Thankfulness Depot channel. And in there, you can talk about what you're grateful for, give us links to the fan works that you are most grateful for, tag anyone who is in the server and talk about why you're grateful for them. This will make Farrah deeply uncomfortable, so make sure to do it to her as often as possible. No, there are definitely people on the server who would not love that. So if you know that they wouldn't, perhaps another way down the line is a way to do that. But if you're someone like me and you really love being told you're pretty, feel free to at me. But just generally, that channel is going to be a celebration of essentially in a real way, like why we love fandom and just a really focus on the we are all grateful for it in our lives. I know we are. But as you celebrate Thanksgiving, if you are someone who does, talking about superheroes falling in love may not be something you can share at your Thanksgiving table when you go around the room and say what you're thankful for. So we're creating a room for you to say what you're thankful for. Second, you can respond to the questions on Tumblr that we will be peppering throughout the month, which will have to do with thankfulness and fan works and creation and all of that stuff.
We'll be posting some of those questions on as polls on Twitter as well. So if you don't follow us in both places, you should.
Absolutely.
And third, you can send us anonymous thankful vibes. Just let us know what you are grateful for, what you're thankful for, what you love about fandom to our Anon Fandom Feeling submission form. This is great if you want to talk about a creator you maybe don't know well or isn't in the Discord server, or if you feel shy about being outwardly grateful. We just want to hear from you, and that gives you a place to do it without your name attached. Fourth, you can create a fan work as a gift back to the community. A drabble, a mood board, a sketch, a full-fledged work. Add us on Tumblr or Twitter, and we will share the crap out of it everywhere we can. We will also link it in the show notes of the next episode.
And please, this is not like you need to create an autumnal fic, although feel free. I love a good autumnal fic. This is a great time, by the way, if you would like to create something specifically for Farrah, to create something with clothes sharing.
Ooh.
And like sweatshirt sharing seems to be a thing for her, just a little pro tip.
And if you want to make something for Flame, you could write something about glory holes.
Yeah, wow, what a different vibe. I really am grateful for them in fic. Maybe not in real life, but totally in fic. Anyway. They can be anything. They can be dedicated to people. They can be dedicated to the community. They can be dedicated to a particular server you are on. If you would like to write a Loki Tony fic, I know the Loki Tony, the Frost Iron server is lovely and welcoming and always want more work. So you could dedicate it to that small, the subsect of the community. Anything goes. If you want to write a lifeguard fic or a creature fic, or you want to draw Tony in a turkey costume. Oh, someone please do that.
Speaking of that, we maybe don't have a cover artist set for that episode either. So anyone who wants to create something gratefully or inspired by gratitude or Thanksgiving in any way, you remember that you can always submit your work for cover art to us on our cover art submission form on the website. And we will link that in the show notes too. And we would love to feature you.
And as always, you can get in touch with us on email, Tumblr, Twitter, Discord, Carrier Pigeon, Pony Express, to tell us personally what you are grateful
pigeon.
For.
Please send me a pigeon.
Please send a pigeon. I want a video of their carrier pigeons landing for Frisk. Can I ask for that?
Oh, she'd be so excited. Yeah, if it happens, obviously I will film it for you.
I'll love it. I will be at peak cheese in the next episode, and I am sure that Farrah will be exceptionally uncomfortable, so it'll be a really good time for all of us. Make sure to tune in.
We are very excited today to talk about our very last segment of this run of Life of an Event, which was for the Stuckoni Summer Stocking, because the event is now over. Yay! First of all, an absolutely enormous thank you to everybody who participated. I can't even begin to say how positive this was and how wonderful and giving everybody was and how much fun it was. We ended up with 44 stockings, which turned into 90 works in 10 different fandoms. And it was just, overall, it was just such a positive experience. We actually, as we said in our last episode, we had launched at the same time our Steve Tony Bucky Discord server, and the event sort of was celebrated in that server. We had a channel for server events, and we used that channel to talk about the stockings, and a fair number of people from the event showed up, and people were thanking each other for their works, and people were live blogging the ones that they loved, and people were talking about which ones they'd read or looked at and which ones they hadn't, and people were sharing treats. And it was a really wonderful party, and the party went on Tumblr as well. And we also know that there were lots of people who aren't on Discord or aren't on Tumblr who were reading and kudosing and wrecking and bookmarking and commenting on these 90 amazing Stuckoni pieces that that we had were given. And so thank you.
Yeah. And one of my favorite parts that I wasn't anticipating being a favorite part was watching all of you try to guess who wrote what.
That was fun. And people were really engaged with it. Sometimes it's hit or miss. Some people are too shy, but especially on the Discord server, people were guessing. And some people were unfairly good at it.
Yeah. Wasn't HT have a 90% success rate?
Yeah. I'm calling out HT specifically because I think she guessed every single one of my 7 works.
Yeah. But by the way, all of you just watch next time. Ferret and I are going to swap spellings and none of you are going to understand. Wah-ha-ha-ha-ha.
That's the plan.
It was interesting to listen to everybody say this is a tick of this person, or this person never uses this word. And not just about me and Ferret, but about all the rest of you too. It was really, we do these events to build community, and that was a great community build. And so we're even tossing around the idea of some sort of event where the intention is to not be able to guess each other. So you cloak your writing fic. If that's something you guys would be interested in, let us know. We have no plans beyond the tossing ideas around, but we had so much fun watching everybody guess. We would like to capture that fun somehow. So we're still queuing on ideas.
We're thinking about that. We did determine that while some people did do treats and the people who got treats were excited about it, and it wasn't a negative thing, it didn't garner a huge amount of engagement. Not very many people did treats. And so I think probably for the amount of work and also confusion it created in the first place, that it probably wasn't worth it to do treats. And so this experiment, the result was that next time we probably will just leave treats out of the event entirely.
Yeah, and the week in between work reveals and author reveals will be focused on guessing rather than creating treats.
Yeah, so we might do more promotion for the guessing, more places where you can guess, try and drum that up a bit, because everyone had a lot of fun with that. And I think that fun was more fun than the treats fun, especially since I think people were tired from doing all of the stockings. And so they just kind of were like, oh, it's done. And then people didn't go back and look through the list, or maybe they didn't even understand what the treats were for. If you feel really strongly about the treats one way or another, you can let us know, because all data is good data. And, I don't want to say 100% because we don't know what next year is going to look like, but it's certainly on our to-do list to consider running this event again next year.
But before we do that, we are going to be continuing this segment here on the pod because we're running another event.
Yay.
So
As
we do. With this one, we have help, which is very, very exciting.
Yay.
So we are presenting, drum roll please, Steve Tony Bucky Bingo. Yay.
Yay.
With the great help of Mrs. Maudy Bear. The Steve Tony Bucky Bingo is a 4-way ship bingo. Stuckoni, Winter Iron, Stony, and Stucky. You can cross post. There is no minimum, stuff like that. We have all of those details on the Tumblr, which we will be in the next little bit.
Not quite up yet, because this isn't us launching the event on the pod. This is us launching Life of an Event. So this is your pre-event Life of an Event discussion where we talk about what we're going to do but haven't yet done.
Yeah. So the event doesn't open until November 1st. And as we are dropping this, it is in fact October 11th. So for anyone who's not listening, you know, synchronously, but we're very excited about this event because we think it fills a couple different event holes within fandom that we're excited about promoting. So this all started entirely because Ferret and I love bingos.
We do.
And we love Stuckoni.
We do.
And we would like more Stuckoni content.
We would.
But we would not like to limit anyone if a prompt drives them to one of the three subships.
Exactly.
Because we also love all three of these walnuts in whatever arrangement they come in.
So the goal of the bingo is to give people a place where we are going to be generating more content for this set of ships. So it is limited in that regard. But within that set, you can get into whatever subset you want. You can play with their relationship. It doesn't have to be Stuckoni happy ending. It doesn't have to be a happy ending at all. In fact, one of the things that we are doing is dividing up the tropes into separate categories. So the prompts will be sort of generic basic prompts, which will range from very fluffy to mildly angsty. And then we also have a dark prompt selection, which ranges from dark to very dark, and a kinks section, which is all naughty stuff, and a characters section. So when you fill out the form, you'll be able to pick which any combination of those four lists that you want included on your card. And we're hoping that the separation of the dark prompts, we don't want it to sound like we think that they should be separated out. The point was actually that we find that most bingo cards don't include very, very dark prompts because so many people put them on their do not wants, and it makes it harder for them to filter them out or make sure people aren't getting stuff that they would find upsetting to try and create for. So we are actually making it so that by opting into dark prompts, you could even select only dark prompts as the list that you get. So by opting into dark prompts and having that as a choice, it gives us the opportunity to go really dark on the dark prompts. And some of the angst weasels who really like writing some deep, deep, dark, scary or horrific things, will have that opportunity to do that, encouraged by the bingo card.
Yeah, which leads us to some other decisions that kind of like that decision led us to make. So one of the reasons that there are often, I think, this is just my theory, guys, more kind of fluff or general centered events is that a lot of events do approvals. And if you are somebody who doesn't like reading dark fic, you don't want to read dark fic to do approvals. It's just a valid thing, to be completely honest. So you're hesitant to offer participation for major character death when you know as a mod yourself you're going to have to read it, and that's something you enjoy, and people have limits and triggers and all that stuff. And so because we wanted to and I will say this is very much on the back of the Steve Tony games and the interaction that Ferret and I had with folks, specifically the angst weasels in that event, you guys repeatedly said to us that, and not like condescendingly or rudely, but just that a lot of events were not explicitly angst welcoming.
Yeah.
And we heard that and we were like, okay, great. Let's create an event that is explicitly angst welcoming, explicitly welcoming to unhappy endings, explicitly welcoming to major character death and non-con and all of the other kind of stuff within that bucket. And so because of that, to be completely honest, we don't want to limit you by what we'd prefer to read.
Yeah.
And so there are not going to be some of the other like hallmarks of some other events. We're not going to be doing roundups. We are not double checking if you are valid on your badge. You're going to submit a badge claim form and we're going to trust you.
Yeah, if you claim a badge that you didn't earn, that's just a guilt and suffering you're going to have to live with yourself, but we won't lose any sleep at night. The badges are free.
Yeah, you are getting a digital sticker and we're not going to lose sleep over whether or not you earned it or not. Like I said before, there's no minimum. We just want you to create work and tag your shit. That's it.
Yep.
For these ships in some way, shape or form, we'd ask you to tag it appropriately. If you don't tag it appropriately, that is something we will potentially be talking to you about. but like, just don't, I mean, follow our rule of fandom. Do no harm and then do you.
Yeah. And from a mod perspective on that front, we won't be checking to make sure that people have tagged things appropriately. But if anyone were to come to us and say, hey, this was posted in your collection, but it didn't tag for major character death and there's major character death in it, we will have people's email contacts and we'll be able to go to them and say, I think you missed this tag on your fic. And that, you know, by making it a report-based situation, that means we don't have to engage with every single thing that's posted.
So if you're saying, oh, I really want to write this really, really, really dark thing, but I know that Flame and Ferret would hate it, fan-fic-tastic. Post it and enjoy. This event is not for us, it is for y'all.
So we've started the prompts lists. That's something that we've prepped already. Obviously there's kind of the sky's the limit on prompts. So we're just going to keep adding to those as we go.
I think we're at 1,000 now.
Yeah. We need to decide as a team if we're going to be posting the prompt list publicly or if it's going to be a secret. Flame has made the card layout, but we may still futz with that. Who knows? But one decision that we did make when we decided to how we were going to design the cards themselves was that we were going to put the schedule right on the card. So if all people ended up saving was the card itself, they'd still know when they had to post by.
Mm-hmm.
We have our mod team. It's the three of us. We're also the mod team for the STB Discord server. And we will be using the server a lot to promote the event and engage people with the event and share stuff about the event. So just like with the stockings, there's going to be a correlation there. But even though our server is 18 plus, we are opening the bingo up to all ages as long as people do the things they need to do to keep themselves in the appropriate categories.
Which means you don't need to be in the server to do the bingo. We had to ask about that on Tumblr already. Yeah. It is just a place where if you are somebody who likes to create within community, the server is the space we are providing to do that.
Yeah.
If you are not a Discord person or that's not of value to you, mazel, you'll have everything you need to know on the Tumblr.
So we still have a couple weeks until signups open and there are still some things we need to do or think about or plan. One is that we do intend to do badges, as we said, so we need to make the full list of badges and get the artwork ready for those. They won't be needed right away, but most bingos tend to give out badges as they go, and part of that is because you don't want to have to do them all at once. So we'll get those underway. I am building a spreadsheet that's going to use whatever people mention on their prompt list selections out of those four lists we have to make the cards. And there are programs that will do this for you. And I might even look into those. And if they're much easier than making the sheet, we may end up using one of those. If I do make a sheet and it works and I like it and I think it's good and easy to use, that may even be a template that I'd be willing to share for other people to use for their bingos. But again, it's all still under construction, so nothing solid yet. And we're going to decide how exactly we're going to break up among the team the actual photoshopping of the cards themselves. And there are some difficulties and tricky things with that. Like Canva is very accessible, but it has some funky ways of organizing text that makes specifically bingo cards kind of annoying to do. But that's all stuff that we're going to be figuring out over the next couple weeks. And then we'll be posting the signup form and signups will be coming in and we'll be sending out cards and we will keep you guys posted because when we come back for our Thanksgiving episode, we will have open signups and we will have sent out some cards and we will have made all our rules and the FAQ and all that wonderful stuff. So we'll be able to talk about all of this with more specificity at that point.
Yeah. And for anyone asking to, just like every other bingo I know, there will be a period in which you can get generic cards after you get your customized cards. Mm-hmm. And that period is longer than the customized card request list. So if you are particularly, I really have specific do not wants, or, you know, I really want to try dark fic, but here are my limits, and you'd like some personalization in that, do make sure to keep an eye on the Tumblr and get in on the deadlines, because those some, like we said, we'll be opening this during our pod hiatus.
Right. So we won't be here to talk to you guys about it.
We won't. We will be on both the STB and the pod on the suit server to talk about it for sure. And y'all mostly know how to get a hold of us in other ways. But just as a reminder, if that's a real value to you, make sure to mark your calendar with November 1st, because that will be when pre-orders for personal cards open.
So we hope you guys are excited about this new series of Life of an Event. We are super excited that you guys liked this segment so much because we had a lot of positive feedback about it. So we are continuing it, and continue to let us know if that's something you like or if there are specific questions about this event that you want us to answer or discuss on Life of an Event.
So as we head into hiatus, we thought of ways that we could send you off with a smile. Perhaps that you will miss us even more than you miss us currently.
How could that be possible?
We would like to be pined for. We're looking back over the things that you guys have said you liked the most, and one of them was the ferret lightning round in Animal Corner that we did a couple episodes ago. So we're going to do that again today, except instead of breeds of things, we are going to do household pets.
All right.
And except for, I'm going to ask, essentially just throw out any type of animal that I can think of.
Okay.
And except for cat and dog, which we know that they are decent household pets. You probably have feelings, but like, I'm going to put those aside.
Yeah.
And have you do some of the more non-traditional ones.
Okay.
I guess, and I'm curious about those. So
I would like everyone to know, since it's on topic, that as soon as we started recording Animal Corner, Frisk came into my recording studio, i.e. my office, to say hello. So a hello from Frisk. She's here, and she wants you all to know she loves you.
Hi, baby.
I'm also not going to ask about ferrets, because you have talked about ferrets before. So don't be bracing yourself for a ferret question.
Okay.
So, okay, the first thing, creature, cryptid, I don't know, that I'd like to know about is a guinea pig.
Okay. Guinea pigs. Well, first up, they're prey animals. So right off the bat, they're a little skittery. And that's always something you're going to be up against when you're keeping guinea pigs, is that you have to ingratiate yourself to them. And for some guinea pigs, that's hard. And when I take care of other people's guinea pigs, they are never, ever, ever happy to see me. So if you want a pet that's going to be excited about strangers, guinea pigs are not a great way to go. But they're basically Tsums in real life, and that will never get old. I think they're one of the most aesthetically pleasing animals that you can keep as pets. I just freaking love them. They're like little beans, and the long-haired ones, their fur goes in all different directions, so it just like sticks up in absolutely like mad scientist waves. It's insane. Everybody, if you've never seen a long-haired guinea pig, you must look, because they're incredible. And they come in wacky patterns, and by far the best thing about guinea pigs is the noises that they make, which are just astounding. I had a friend growing up who had guinea pigs in her kitchen. They were like built into a hutch that was like under the counter in one corner. And every single time you opened the fridge, they thought they were getting a treat, and they'd start making the guinea pig noise. And it's like, wee, 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 wee. And it's just like, I just stand there and open and close the fridge so I could listen to them sing, because I love it. So I love guinea pigs, but they are slightly challenging pets because they're pretty shy. But they're kind of big like rabbits. They're substantial, which I like in an animal. So if they made guinea pigs that weren't so skittery, they might be perfect. But it's hard for them to get over the fact that they're pretty shy of people in general. And maybe you have wonderful guinea pigs, listeners, and that's awesome. But on average, you got to admit, they're pretty scary.
Yeah, my only experience with them is that they were a class pet in primary school.
Yeah.
Okay, next animal is pygmy goat.
Pygmy goat. I mean, they're farm animals. Goats are not, they're just not at a place yet where they're like house pet domesticated. They're goats. They're raised to live on farms. They're not necessarily like, and if you have one on a farm and it's your pet, then that's awesome. But like, I just don't think they make great house pets. I also knew a pygmy goat that was so fat, he was wider than he was tall. He lived at a barn that I used to ride horses at, and he wanted to eat the grain, the horse's grain. So when you went in to muck or to groom or tack up your horse, he would like use his horns to like wedge his way into the stall and try and eat their hay. And you'd have to grab him by the horns and wrestle him back out again. And he was a pygmy goat. He was small. He was low to the ground. But he, as I say, was wider than he was tall from eating all of the horse's food. And he had a little bit of heft behind him. And it was a bit of a, and he loved that you were grabbing his horns. It's like when a dog gets a rope and gets you to pull on it. Goats just love a horn wrestle. So yeah, I think they're cute. I think the yoga thing's very silly, but you know, whatever makes you happy. But I'm not sure that, I mean, I don't actually know anybody who keeps a goat in their house. Is this something that we're aware of? Are people keeping goats in their houses? Is this something people do in LA?
I don't know. I have definitely heard of people keeping goats if they like live in a converted barn, like that level of hipster.
Okay.
But that's more of like a Texan thing. So I don't know. Like,
are you going to be able to teach a goat to be housebroken? Maybe. I can't say for sure that you can't. And if anybody knows somebody who keeps goats, like I know people who have goats as pets who live on farms, but if you know somebody who keeps a goat as a pet, as one would keep a dog, I have questions and I hope that you will come give me answers, because I don't have like a vision of that going exceedingly well. They do like to chew on things. They are fairly destructive and they have hooves.
Hooves make me nervous, man. Like, yeah. It's just not something I'm into. Our next one is a two-toed sloth.
Sloths have it rough, man. I hope nobody's keeping a sloth as a pet. I will scream until the cows who are domesticated come home about how it's entirely inappropriate to own wild animals as pets. And sloths are in no way domesticated at all. And they're very easy to stress out. And a lot of them are endangered and they have tough lives as it is because they cannot get away from things very quickly. And they suffer from a lot of, like there's a lot of, in some areas, a lot of chronic diseases that affect sloths. And unfortunately, sloths and lemurs and like sugar gliders and stuff are often suffer from the illegal pet trade and get snatched. I mean, all, you know, if you see somebody with a pet monkey, that monkey, either that monkey or that monkey's parents were stolen from the wild. There's no other way to get a monkey. There's no domesticated monkeys. There's no domesticated sloths. These are animals that are wild animals that are being forced to live in somebody's house. And the truth is, when they hit sexual maturity, you are fucked. They are going to get that hit of testosterone or whatever, and they are going to destroy your house and they're going to attack you. And they just weren't made to live with people. They don't have, we haven't bred an instinct to pack with humans into them. And it's just not, it's not good. It's not good. So please don't own a sloth as a pet or a monkey.
Sorry, Kristen Bell. That's
I know. And like that video is one of my favorite videos on the internet. And I try not to look too closely at the company that brought the sloth. I'm sure it's like a party entertainment company, because no self-respecting like wildlife education company would bring a sloth to a birthday party. So I have to be disappointed that there's a entertainment company out there that has a sloth that they are bringing to parties, because that's not very fair for the sloth. But it is very sweet how much she loves them.
So speaking of domesticated, I'm looking at a Business Insider article that says that foxes could be on their way to being domesticated. Your feelings on that?
Well, yeah. Basically, they are doing that. It's fairly recent. I believe the first fox domestication program was in Russia. And that was, I want to say, about 10 years ago, but I would have to look that up to be sure. And I might be wrong. That might have just been when I first heard about it. But they are working on domesticating foxes. It does take generations to domesticate. You can't domesticate a single wild animal. Domestication is a process that changes the species itself through breeding. So it has to take time to do it. And, you know, we've got a lot of time on wolves. We do not have a lot of time on foxes. My understanding from people who have attempted to own foxes is that we're not there yet.
Got it.
They too have the issue of hitting sexual maturity and becoming territorial, marking, becoming aggressive, and difficult to handle. Obviously, this has been improved by the domestication process they've gone through, but there's a reason they're not being sold. Like, you know, this isn't something people are breeding in their backyards yet. And part of it is that foxes are extremely high energy and very smart and very stubborn. They basically, like, if you took the worst dog breeds, i.e. huskies, I love huskies, everyone. I love them. No normal person should own a husky. They are working dogs 100% and they need extremely specific things. And basically foxes are like the worst husky. So I understand they're very sweet and they can be very affectionate. And I'm not really sure how I feel about deciding to domesticate them. I have pretty strong feelings that animals should be domesticated for a purpose. So almost all the animals we've domesticated up until now have either been domesticated so that we could eat them or so that they could perform jobs for us. So guinea pigs, for example, were domesticated so we could eat them. And horses were domesticated so they could take us places. And dogs were domesticated to perform a number of jobs, including herding and guarding and other things. So we usually have like a plan in place, but foxes are purely being domesticated so that people who want to make money off of breeding them can sell them, I presume. There's no other reason. There's no job they do, as far as I'm aware. And I believe that the first programs for domesticating foxes were specifically as pets. So I don't know. I feel like we got a long way to go. I get the appeal. I get it. Foxes are beautiful. You could not freaking pay me to have one in my house. They apparently smell. Oh, there's a story I heard. I heard that someone was looking to buy a fox from a breeder. And they told, or maybe, no, it was someone wanted to foster foxes for a rescue organization that takes foxes that people have given up because it turns out, actually, they're very hard to keep. And they said one of the requirements of fostering for the rescue was that you had to, they gave you a jar of fox urine and you had to leave it open in your house for a week before, and like stand the stench before they would let you take a fox into your house, because they smell so bad that if you're not prepared for the stink of fox urine all over your house, then you're just going to be giving the foster back. So I get it. They're beautiful. They're gorgeous. They laugh, which is funny. And people think that they're, you know, sort of like dog cats, but they're still wild. Oh, and the other interesting thing was the more they bred them, the more dog-like, the ones, their features became more dog-like. So as they bred them to be more domesticated and to work towards a fox that was better with people, less aggressive and less wild, their features shifted through the breeding line. As a side note, without them selectively breeding for that, they were selectively breeding for temperament, and the result they got was that their features became more dog-like, which I think is really interesting.
Fascinating. I'm going to be ruminating on living with fox urine for a while.
If I can find the story, I'll link it in the show notes if I can find it. It's purely anecdotal.
This is the only time I've ever wished we had a visual medium, because I really wish you could all see my face right now.
I think we can imagine.
Oh, Christ on a cracker. So I have one more animal to ask about, but I want to say that in that same article about foxes being domesticated, was said that Salvador Dali owned an anteater as a pet.
Oh, I think I knew that.
I mean, like, he's one of my favorite artists, but an anteater?
There's definitely, like, there's a status thing for owning wild animals. They're expensive. They're hard to get. And okay. I think some people just think the weirder the animal that they have, the more it looks like, it's all about looking cool. I don't think anyone's bonding with their anteater.
Okay. So you talk about domestication for a purpose.
Yeah.
And that made me wonder about teacup pigs.
Oh, and no.
Because like domesticating, like as far as I can tell, like pigs serve their purpose and that they live outside our house and then we kill them for meat.
Yeah.
Domesticating them doesn't seem to serve any purpose in the way that you were talking about. So talk to me about pigs.
Okay. So, I mean, first off, pigs are domesticated. We domesticated them to be livestock, but they're not house. None of the instincts that we bred into them was for them to live in houses. So okay. As we domesticated dogs, they started out presumably being bred to live outside. So it wasn't critical that they share small spaces with humans. But as we have used them as companions and so on, and, you know, down the line, we have been selectively breeding over a long time to teach them to live in homes. Pigs were being bred specifically to produce meat, and they are also being bred to be docile enough to live in herds. Are they herds? Are they called herds? Now I'm second guessing myself. Herds of pigs? That doesn't sound right. To live in groups on farms and be able to be handled enough to be farmed. But I can tell you, farm cattle, farm pigs, you know, livestock are not generally affectionate. They're not necessarily comfortable being handled. A lot of the time they are handled through like distance control. So they'll be, you know, poked in a certain direction or fences will be put up in certain ways to guide them in certain directions. And, you know, especially male pigs can be aggressive. So they are domesticated, but they're not house trained, if you will. And my second point is that teacup pigs don't exist. There's no such thing as a teacup pig. This idea that they stay like Chihuahua sized is 100% a scam. They were started out, I mean, the first person I knew about who had a teacup pig and made a thing out of it was Paris Hilton. I don't know, you know, that was definitely the time that the concept of a teacup pig took off and it became this like public consciousness thing. But I don't know where she got the idea from. But basically mini pigs, as they're now called, because everybody I think has realized that teacup pigs are fake. They're still being called mini pigs. They're still being sold. What people do is they breed the pigs before they're fully grown. Pigs actually take a couple of years to be fully grown. They have long lives and they grow slowly. So they breed underage pigs, hashtag problematic content, and offer the show the babies, and they say, oh, you can see the parents, they're mini pigs. And people go and see the parents and go, oh, they're very small. Perfect. My pig will not grow up to be very large. And then the parents are still growing. So a couple of years later, they're the size of normal pigs. We have successfully bred them to be a little bit smaller, but people are expecting to get like a French bulldog sized pig. And we're talking like still 100 pounds, 120 pounds. So like,
oh my God,
you're still getting a big pig. It's just that it's not the size of, you know, like the record setting male farm pig, but you have to imagine you're getting a Saint Bernard with shorter legs. So right off the bat, they're not going to be as small as you think they are. And you have to, if you go to like a pig breeder and they're showing you small pigs and saying that's the parents, those parents are very likely not fully grown. And this is the scam that was run. And the teacup pigs were all brand new baby piglets. So the pig that Paris Hilton had in her purse was an infant. And that's why it was so small. And it got huge. And there are pictures of her with her giant pig, which she did. If, you know, from what I saw, I can't say this is 100% true, but what I saw was that she kept her pig and he grew to be fully sized. And she continues to care for him. I think he might live on a farm, but she supports him, which, you know, she fell for the scam. She got a pig. She was responsible for a lot of pigs ending up in sanctuary. So I'm actually really impressed that she chose not to just abandon hers. But pigs being abandoned is a big problem. Pigs ending up in sanctuaries is a big problem. Not having enough farm sanctuary space for pigs is a big problem. A lot of them, again, we run into the problem. They hit sexual maturity and they become aggressive. They become territorial and they may be very loving and affectionate with their immediate family they grew up with, but they may be very intolerant of guests and they usually don't learn to walk on leash very well or end up interacting with dogs very well after they've hit that sexual maturity. You're also going to be hard pressed to find a vet that's going to be taking care of the pet at the level that you want for a pet instead of livestock, which I know farmers love their animals, but there's different expectations for livestock and their health. And, you know, at the end of the day, you have a farm animal in your house. I have one pig I care for. And the reason that my company was hired to care for her is because she's aggressive and territorial. And we've been caring for her for several years. And she's been like that from day one. And she's gotten worse. She's also gotten bigger. She's bit me. And you have to be really, really, really attentive and really careful around her. And they got her because they're allergic to dogs.
On that note, a group of pigs called a passel.
Oh, I did not know that.
There a group of hogs is called a sounder.
You know what? I think I'd heard that
one. Oh, no, sorry. A group of swine. And then a group of boars is called a singular.
That seems like a very silly name for a group of something.
I mean, a murder of crows is also like the whole nine. So to end on a happy note, let's talk a little bit about Frisk.
My baby.
So what breed is Frisk?
Frisk is a Jindo. It is a Korean hunting breed. So she was bred to hunt. And they kind of look like Shiba Inus with long legs. She is actually only about half Jindo, and her other half is Chow and Akita. And I know that because her whole litter was adopted out to families in my area. And one of her brother's owners ended up doing the DNA kit. And because all the puppies were from the same litter, the same parents, that means we all got the results. So she is mostly Jindo, but she's also got some Akita and some Chow. And if you line her up with her brothers, and I do have a picture of their birthday party, so I do have a picture of her with her brothers, she is by far the most Jindo looking one. She's the palest, she's the skinniest, she's the sleekest and the smallest, and they get progressively browner, broader, and floofier as you go up the row of her brothers.
That's funny. So what is her favorite activity besides napping?
Zooming. And her favorite zoom is to chase something. So her like ideal activity, I think, would be, I would love to take her to a racetrack, like a greyhound racetrack where they have the rabbit on the string.
Yeah.
And just see how fast she can really go, because I don't think she's fully let go at the dog park. And I have seen her, she is really, really fast. And she's come close a couple times. She got into it with like a whippet and they started going really fast at the dog park. But I think that it's just not, it's the size of a park. I don't think it's big enough for her to fully let loose. She needs like a full furlong to let out. So I would love to take her to a racetrack and have her chase the, as much as I disagree with greyhound racing, if they've got the facility already, I wish they would let you go run your own dogs and time them, because I would love to see how fast she would go. And she would adore getting to chase the rabbit. Just love it. So yeah, that's her favorite activity, hunting.
And what is her favorite food?
Anything that isn't her kibble.
Okay.
Probably pizza or hot dogs, because my husband will give her both.
And a lady of discerning tastes.
Yeah, she loves a salty meat. And the one thing that, like, I feed her very little people food. She is excellent at leave a take it. That's one of her best skills. She can, you can tell her to leave something and leave the room, leave the floor, and then call her on the phone and say, take it, and she'll eat the thing. But she has not learned not to beg. So she will sit and stare at you if you've got something good. And we have a thing where she'll be asleep in her bed upstairs, top floor. And my husband will use the microwave and she will run downstairs because she knows he's reheating pizza. And she cannot hear me calling her name from 10 feet away if she's got her head in a bush smelling chipmunk pee or something. But the slight crackle of a hot dog wrapper from two floors away, all of a sudden, from deep sleep, she arises like a kraken. So any junk food, really. She just loves junk. She loves people food. She loves junk food.
Honestly, a girl after my own heart.
Yeah. And she didn't eat. She didn't eat anything the first, 6 months we had her. She was underweight. I couldn't get her to eat. And then we got Frisbee, and specifically to make her eat. We rescued Frisbee so she'd eat. And she started eating while he was here. And now she eats great.
That is a really positive note to end on. Frisk is a joy, not only to you and Mr. Ferret, but to all of us that you share her with. So thank you so much. I hope we will still get some Frisk pictures over the hiatus. Even if it's just another shot of her wearing your headphones, because I love that.
She loves listening to the pod.
She is our mascot. So I think I will now officially, on this positive note, call an end to this animal corner. Thank you for your brain, Ferret.
Anytime.
Hi, fandom. Only More Love here, back with the events forecast to share some info about what's going on challenge-wise in a Marvel fandom near you. Here's the usual note before I start with the current events. You'll be able to find everything I mention in this forecast linked and explained in the show notes of each episode over on podonthesuit.com. Since we've gotten that out of the way, let's move on to the fun stuff. Preview week for Marvel Trumps Hate has officially started. From today until next Saturday, October 17th, you can browse all the offerings that have been submitted, search for your favorite creator or your favorite ship, and make notes on your discoveries of new people offering things you'd enjoy, so that when auction week is announced, you'll be ready and set to go. Have fun, do good, be amazing. Signups for the Cap I Am Holiday Exchange have opened. Gifts can be fic, 1,000 words minimum, or art, digital or traditional, and must focus on Steve and Tony's relationship. Happening on the same schedule is the community gifts prompting and filling. As it says on the tin, people are free to leave prompts to be filled by the community for the community. There are no minimums or signups, just low-pressure Steve-Tony love spreading. A new exchange for dark fic lovers has arrived. The Stony Sad Secret Santa, with its focus on angst and dark themes, its minimum of 3,000 words and maximum of 7,000 words, will keep its signups open until October 30th, with assignments going out on November 2nd, and works due by December 20th. Go, give us a good cry over the holidays. Author signups for The Marvelously Naughty Bang are now closed. Artist signups, on the other hand, remain open until November 14th. Time to get ready for some amazing claiming. The MCU Kink Bang is back. Signups will remain open for all creators until November 22nd, with a check-in on December 13th and all submissions due January 5th. Claims will occur on January 10th. Because the Kink Bang is a mixed bang, both art pieces and stories will be submitted and therefore available for claims, allowing for all sorts of collabs. Have fun! The Marvel Holiday Movie Prompt Fest was announced on October 1st and will be running until January 31st. With its two sets of prompts, one autumnal, one wintry, the fest invites you to create any kind of work featuring any Marvel character as long as it's inspired by one of the aforementioned prompts. It's time for some tropey fun, folks. The Steve Tony Bucky, or STB, Bingo, a bingo allowing content creation for all four combinations of these three characters, will open for card signups on November 1st. The collection will be open for fills between December 1st and June 30th. Step right up and grab a card. The Iron Dad Big Bang is happening again this year. With its 10 or 20,000 word minimum, the Bang is looking for works focusing on the platonic and father-son relationship between Peter and Tony, also known as Iron Dad and Spider-Son. Writer signups will go on until December 1st, with two check-ins before works are due on January 15th, which is also the day artist signups will close. Claims will then happen on January 25th, and final collaborations will post starting March 15th. The Sam Steve Small Gifts Exchange is also back for a second season. If you'd like to gift some Cap Squared love for the holiday season, this is your chance. Signups will go on until October 16th, with assignments going out on the 19th, and works due between December 26th and January 3rd. Don't miss out! A great number of multi-fandom exchanges are also going on at all times, and if you'd like to look into them, take a look at the fandom calendar page on Dreamwidth. Not all of them are promoted there, but it's a very good start. The Cap IM Bingo and Comment Bingo, Cap IM Kink Meme, and Lights on Park Avenue are still open for participant signups and or contributions. And the links to all of these are still in our show notes for the past episodes. This is also the time of year where a lot of prompt lists with themes go out. So if you like those, we recommend searching Tumblr for Comfortember, Whomptober, and Kinktober, for example. Well, friends, that brings us to the end of your events forecast. Thanks so much for lending us your ears. Hope you'll join us again next episode. Until then, please stay safe and happy shipping.
And that's a wrap on episode 17. Big thank you to Sir Sapling for being our wonderful cover artist and for sharing his feelings on alts in our interview. Also, the Ultimate Stony server is about to restart its starter book club. Plus, it's almost Alts Day, which is October 16th, 1610, if anyone's keeping track at home. So if you're interested in getting involved with either or all of those things, head to the link to the server in the show notes that we will link below.
As we said in the episode, when we see you again, we will be talking about thankfulness for our fandom lives. And if it's just me and Ferret, that'll be pretty lame, y'all. So please, 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 please send us fandom feelings, create fan works, hop into the server, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We want to make this a community event and not just a Flame and Ferret rambling one. So please help.
We are on hiatus for the next two episodes, but we'll still be active in the server, as we said, and we will be pimping MTH everywhere. We are both for sale, so feel free to come bid on us or any of the other amazing nearly 300 creators offering their time and creativity for charity. There's a link to the MTH Discord server in the show notes. Please, please come out. Every single bid counts, and you wouldn't believe the amazing fanworks that are available. We actually have over 400 auctions, and every single one of them is fantastic. And there are so many different amazing things. You can get crafts, you can get fic, you can get betas, you can get all sorts of amazing stuff. Check it out. Check it out. Check it out. We can't do the good that MTH does without people like you bidding, sharing, signal boosting, participating, and getting involved in all of the wonderful ways that you do. So thank you.
Absolutely. And just an extra plug again, where if you are cash strapped this year, we get it. Lots and lots of folks are, but we are not joking when signal boosting and encouragement is just as valuable. In the next 3 weeks, a lot of creators, especially first time ones, are going to be really, really nervous about bidding or what people are saying about them or things like that. So if you are somebody who is a natural cheerleader, y'all, this is your time to shine. On the server, reblog their stuff on Tumblr, highlight things that are the golden needles, which you can learn about on the MTH server. If you have no cash, but lots of enthusiasm, we want it. There's lots of ways to participate in this, we promise. So have a wonderful rest of the fall or spring, depending on which side of the world you're on. And we will see you in November with episode 18. You've been listening to Pod on the Suit. Thanks for joining us.